Blog Talk Radio.
The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and wherever you are in the world, that's what time it is, wherever you are in the world. Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Michael Gay. On this Saturday, January the 29th, 2022, first month of the year, and unfortunately, a lot of shit is still going on from last year. Now, don't get mad at me for saying that, okay? Because it's the fact, right? And from last year and the year before and the year before that, you know, things just keep changing. Well, I won't say changing. Some things still stay the same. Now, last week, Janet brought it to my attention. I wanted to talk about a certain topic, and I'm going to get into the topics that we scheduled for this week, but I want to kind of go back on last week a little bit and get everybody's point of view on it. And this week, some things have been happening in courts. As you well know, a lot of the trials have ended as far as the Rittenhouse case, the Chauvin case, you know, with him, you know, as far as George Floyd goes, found guilty, Rittenhouse not guilty. There's a lot of stuff that happens afterwards, right? And it's interesting to see what the defense and the prosecution are arguing over with. Things just don't end right there and people walk out the courtroom and, oh, that's it. There's stuff that happens afterwards. So we're going to get into, because here's the issue of the gun and the money regarding Rittenhouse. The gun that was used for the killing and the money that was raised for the, well, let's say the bail money, or was it the bail money or was it the defense money? What end of the spectrum or what end of it does it go? And so there has been an argument that lasted all the way up to Friday. Janet and I talked about it, and we're going to see what some things that prevailed as far as a decision based on what the judge decided to do. Also, we're going to look at some other cases that are going to start coming Monday. You guys remember, I believe it was 2017, 2018, the Walker House shooting where four people, I believe it was four, that were killed in the Walker House. Now think about it. I think almost everybody on this panel has been to a Walker House at some point in their lives, right? I know I have. But you go in and here comes a guy and he starts shooting up folks, happens to take the initiative to approach him and stop him and get the gun from him. And fortunately, he wasn't able to kill more people, right? But now, though he was just found competent to stand trial, the defense is still going to say that he was temporarily insane. Insanity defense, that's an interesting thing because there's like three different ways you can say that, claim that in front of a jury. Temporary insanity. And I was watching an individual who made it very clear to me, I want to get your point of view, of what can really be considered insanity. I don't believe in temporary insanity. There is a thing called a crime of passion, of where at that moment of time where you caught your significant other with someone else and you just went nuts and grabbed a gun or a knife or whatever the case may be, that's a crime of passion. But temporary insanity, I'm trying to understand that one, where at that moment you decide to go into a restaurant and kill people and then say, hey, you know, I don't know what the hell I was, you know. And mental illness also plays a role in this whole thing, too. So I'm seeing that some of the co-hosts are from the board, and I'm going to open up their mics, greet each and every one of them. So let me go with the lady of the house, who's always helping put together some of these topics and these conversations that we have every Saturday here on the TMTS. Janet Davis, how you doing?
Good, Michael, but I totally forgot about the insane or temporary insanity.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. I gotta absorb everything and then figure out, okay, what do we talk about within the time frame that we have? But it depends on how interesting the topic is with everybody, we can move on to the next. But I think that's very important. Looking at these, actually it's not just this one guy, there's another guy who is claiming the same thing, temporary insanity. What is temporary insanity? I've never heard of that. Well, I'll take that back. I've heard of it, but does it work in a court of law?
Right.
Is the question.
I'm sorry, Mike. I know I have company on its way, and I might have to sign up early. I just want to let you know ahead of time.
No problem.
I'm not sure.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let me say hello also to another co-host. Got their hand up in California, where I know the weather is a hell of a lot better than what it is here in Georgia, because right now it is cold as a witch's titty. And I mean, I know you've never touched one before, but you might have. I don't know. I know some witches. But anyway, that's a different story. But time is shit. How are you doing, my brother?
How goes it, Mike? Janet, how you doing?
Good, good.
All
how
right.
are you?
All is well. Mike, I will say that, you know, when you plead insanity, like when you're dealing with maybe schizophrenia, bipolar, did they take their medication, did they not take their medication, you know, premeditated sometimes, you know, but if it's like the guy who shot up the theater, you're still going to do time. You can say that, oh, I was crazy, but you're still going to get time. You ain't getting out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said the guy who shot Reagan was crazy. And where did he spend his time at? In the mental institution.
Yeah, it was John Hughes. Right, and that's another good thing because I wanted to bring it to that. is that where if you, I mean, but, right, these guys get time with conditions, right, of where, well, we're not going to send him to a hardcore prison. He ain't going to Pelican Bay. He ain't going to, you know, we're going to put him in a mental institution.
Yeah, he will.
Excuse me?
He can still go there. They have, he will be in solitary confinement, though.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
He will be, he can still go to the pen. He will be in solitary confinement. You're a danger to yourself and you're a danger to the public, so we can put you away. That's like them guys out there at the Supermax. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you got a good point.
No, you got a good point. They could still put in the same place, but as you said, they could be in solitary confinement, which is definitely best for them, because he can be a danger to himself because other inmates might want to kill him, like they did Jeffrey Dahmer, right? He was murdered in prison. Now,
well,
that,
well,
to
and
me,
in Jeffrey's case, Jeffrey ate one of them cat's cousins. They clearly set him up. He ate one of them brothers' cousins, you know. So when he ate their cousin, they found out, oh, he in the same pen. Yeah, man. And the dude that they got to do it, he was serving 3 life terms. So they really, you know, hey,
he had nothing to lose.
The guards just gave him up.
He had nothing to lose, so it was okay.
Nope.
Right. So then that tells you right there that was an inside job with the officers, because no way in the world Jeffrey Dahmer should have been in the same area as those individuals.
Well, they asked,
right?
Jeffrey, do you want to help clean up? They asked him, do you want to help clean up? He said, yeah. And when they did, the dude that the three, that was the guy that they went on and let him and take him out, beat him with a hammer. Yeah, because, you know,
okay,
he
well,
know
let me open up another mic. Right, but let me open up another mic so we can get into this conversation a little better. And In fact, I got to make sure I open up the chat room of our new co-host, Mr. Ron Jones from Arizona. Well, not from, but calling from Arizona. One thing about the TMGS, our co-hosts are all over the USA. Ron, what's up, my brother? Happy Saturday.
Man, what's going on, brother Mike, Simon, and Janet? I tell you right now, I'm claiming temporary insanity because the Lakers, the way they playing, I don't know if they right or wrong. So I'm claiming temporary insanity. Timing, will you represent me? And Janet, will you help be my paralegal? Temporary insanity on the Lakers.
I most certainly will.
With all that talent, you know, with all that challenge that they have, they should be, you know, they should have other teams say, okay, we forfeit. We don't even want to play you guys. But obviously they're not doing a good job in play.
They're not doing a good job, but they got the whole fan base claiming temporary insanity because I'm not going to watch them no more. But, yeah, all serious, Mr. Sai, what a great topic. I like what Timing said. That's interesting timing. I like how he points out that you're still going to do some time, you know, if you do something, you know, this unlawful. So you're not going to escape that. But isn't it interesting?
You know why I say that, Ron?
Why do you say that?
Because I had, you know, I work at Juvenile Hall. So I had two kids, a white kid and a black kid. Davidson, the white kid, shot his mama with a .22, but he shot it, and he shot it in the back. Davis, the black kid, shot his mama in the back of the head with a .38 while she was eating dinner. So when they went to jail, when they went to court, the white boy fell down on the mercy of the court, which was Davidson, and said, they said, Mr. Davidson, do you feel any remorse? He said, yes, I do. Yes, sir, I wouldn't be able to do it. He said, all right. I'll give you a 10-year mental institution. When they got to the black kid, David, and they said, David, do you have any remorse for what you've done? He said, hell no. And if I had the opportunity again, I'd smoke that bitch. And, hey, 33 years.
Oh, wow.
And that's why I know. One can fall, but if you ain't got no mercy, you don't get, hey, man, you're going to do some hard time. Either way, but I mean, both of them still went to the pen at young ages, but, you know, Davis went at 18. The white boy, he ended up going, you know, and he killed his mama because she wouldn't, you know, help him grow any more weed in the house. He was growing plants, and, you know, so he was on the path and shot her with a 22. So,
and
that's why.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because what's interesting, some, and I mean no disrespect to our white brothers and sisters, I love y'all, but why is it that when it seems like overwhelmingly when one of theirs do something wrong, that is where they go. That's their go-to, well, mental illness or insanity. Where a minority, black, brown, yeah, we can't use that. They said, no, you had all your marbles. Wait a minute, hold on now. What's going on with that?
Good question. Can I say this real quick? Because I want to ask this real quick, because I want to kind of piggyback of what Ron just said. Because, and then time, and I want you, because since you do work in the juvenile system, I'm sure you witnessed a few cases or you know about a lot of them. That's a good question, because here's the thing that I found out is that a lot of times, sometimes the makeup of the jury, and depending what state, if the jury makes a decision as far as the punishment, the jury can be like, and as Ron said, more lenient to someone of white than a person of black. You know, remember, we are considered in some cases, you know, oh, that's a thug, he's a criminal, he has a history. So they're not supposed to know about your past, by the way. But then they can be more lenient to that individual who's making that plea. But then if a judge is the one who is supposed to lay sentence, and let's say, for instance, you know, of course it doesn't go to a jury trial, it could still be the same way. We can sit and plead insanity. We can sit and plead this, that, and the other. But 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times, we don't get that. And who is to determine whether you are insane or not? Is it where the defense says, I have to, you know, prove that my client is insane? And then the judge says, well, according to the evaluation, he's not, when it comes to that black person. Or is it where the prosecution says, no, he's not insane. We had our experts question him. You follow me? It can go either way as far as how the trial is going to be run. Tommy, you understand? My point is that where it's a roll of the dice, in a sense, based on what Ron's question was. Why is it always us that don't get that type of plea of insane or insanity? You there?
I will say, Mike. Okay, one, you better have you a good attorney. If you don't,
true,
you're not going to get that. Okay? Now, remember O.J. What did O.J. have to have? He had a team, you see, and he beat, and that was the greatest murder conviction that he ever got off of. People still talk about it today, but how did he get off? He got off because of who his attorneys were and the money.
Right.
You know, now, if you're looking at Rittenhouse, look at Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse money was put up by Ricky Schroeder. He put up $2 million. Okay, ain't no black folks today got that kind of cash to be laying down for somebody to save them. We ain't got no Johnny Cochran on our team. You got to be able to prove that if you got the right attorney and the money, you can get off. You know, you gotta have that money, man. Money talk, you know, BS walk. You know, you gotta have it. That's the only thing.
I'm glad that you said that, because Janet, if you could pull that up, where we were talking about the issue with the Rittenhouse thing, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. Just yesterday, the prosecutor was in the courtroom for a short period of time. He left after saying what he had to say, and the defense attorney. Now, there was an issue about what happens to the gun. And when I watched it, the judge hadn't ruled on it yet, but Janet informed me that he did rule on it. Rittenhouse wanted the gun. He wanted his property back, his gun back, the gun that he didn't legally buy. His friend, Mr. Black, bought it for him. And by the way, Mr. Black had to pay some little small fine and this, that, and the other, and have to do this and that and the other to make the court look like he's been punished, right? So finally, because the thing is this, is that the crime lab said, hey, look, Rittenhouse said that he liked to destroy the gun itself. The crime lab said, hey, look, we could destroy it for you. You don't have to do it. We could do it right here and now. So they finally got an agreement on that. But here's the argument over the money. Janet, what was it, $3 million or a million something?
No, they said that with Rittenhouse is going to get nearly $1 million from the bail money. And then they broke it up saying that this group of people, I guess, that Schroeder was part of is going to get, like, another million. And then Schroeder, I think they said, was $150,000.
Now, look at those numbers there. Now, according to one individual I watched, and he said, this is interesting how this breaks down, because bail money is just that. It's bail money. This is not defense money that goes, which they already know, it goes into this pot for the defense, which they're going to get paid, regardless if he was found guilty or not. They got to get paid for their services. Bail money is to get him out. But there was so much money that now people are claiming they want their money back, right? But Rittenhouse,
yeah,
who, in my opinion, even though he was found not guilty, I still feel like he murdered those guys. They can say, so that's my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. But he murdered them because his actions in the beginning put him in that situation to kill them. What he decided to do is what caused the death of these two individuals. I don't care how the hell you try to change it. His ass should not have been
there. It was the judge,
okay,
that gave him a break.
Right, gave him a big break. But now, here's a kid who's never seen $1 million in his life, a kid who's going to receive possibly $1 million for killing two people.
They said nearly $1 million of the crowdfunded bail money. Yeah, that was posted for him.
Is that justice?
You know, no.
I'm asking everybody, is that justice? That's insult to the family.
Right.
That family who lost their loved ones, they don't have $1 million. And by this kid being in a place that he should not have been, by this kid being in a place he should never have been, okay, shooting two people, allegedly in self-defense, because he's the one walking around there with an AR-15, not them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one of them was armed. But he's the one out there with an AR-15. Mind you, he is a kid. Shoots and killed him, and now all of a sudden not guilty. And guess what? What did he win, Bob? $1 million.
Wow.
And,
yeah,
and the lawyers got $920,000. And that the fund that Ricky Schroeder, they said $920 is going to be divvied up for them. And then the balance, I guess, is like the $150 is going to Richard Schroeder. But that's a lot of money for committing a crime.
Let's not forget the fact that he called himself defending a car dealership, and the owners didn't even know who the hell he was.
And the
cars
were moved away from
him. Right, and the cars were moved, according to the story, that the cars had been moved because they knew, you know, it wasn't just the first night. This was the second night of the protesting and the, they say, rioting of the, I believe it was because of the George Floyd situation in Minnesota, and Minnesota isn't done, you know, there's even more coming. But what's your thoughts about that, you guys? I mean, this kid is getting, to me, rewarded for, to me, murder.
Mm-hmm.
And the family gets nothing.
Well, also, there again, Mike, his attorney beat that case. Now, like they said, the prosecutor didn't have a great case. I mean, did not rep well, represent well, and he got beat. And that's why they're able to get this money and stuff. You know, I mean, you've got to, they said the case could have been won, but the prosecutor didn't do well. And you had a judge who was pretty much leaning toward his way, too. That didn't help. You know, I mean,
right?
Because the judge threw out a lot of things that could have helped the prosecution. You know,
right.
He wouldn't let some of the evidence be brought into the case. You know, and it was like a circus, as far as I was concerned. For him to be able to get that money,
the guys I had talked to wanted him to walk anyway.
Mm-mm-mm.
Here it is. Like I said, I see kids all the time going to juvie on murder charges, and you know they have that kind of evidence. One,
and
if a black kid with his hands up like that, they'd have shot him.
And they treating a Rittenhouse like he's a rock star, cheering for him at the rallies, at the Trump rally.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's back up for a moment, because I see another hand up, and I'm going to bring this, it's another co-host, so I'm going to bring them in. But here's the thing that gets me. When you look at white supremacist groups that are supporting, and I mean, you can support whoever you want, that's your freedom, but when you have a white supremacist group that are supporting a person who clearly shot and killed two people, right? They even raised money for his defense. You have the right to do what you want to. But, you know, I'm not going to send no money, me personally, again, to someone that I know is guilty. I feel in my heart is guilty, and they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm not going to defend you. First of all, it's just like, your mama would say, well, what the hell were you doing there in the first place? You're just a kid. At least our mothers would. But the parents were behind.
He can't say that, Mike, because his mama knew where he was.
That's what I just said. I just said that. I just said that, but our parents won't. But his mother knew. His father knew. It's just like the kid who had the gun recently in this case that's coming up that went to school. And they bought him the gun, and now they're in trouble, right? So that's what I'm saying. So the whole thing is that, you know, what's happening to our justice system? Is it getting worse? Because we already know that it favors not people of color, more of people who are white. Let's just be honest. That's just the truth. Let me open up this mic here. Hannah's Wade, and I do believe this is Cotton Campbell and KC. KC.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Cotton.
Hi, Cotton.
Hi, everybody.
And you live in KC. Did you plan that?
Well, I'm visiting KC, yes. So people call me KC. I go with it.
KC and KC. Welcome to the show, my sister. You tuned in. Did you have any questions or comments?
Not at the moment. I'm just chiming in, so I'm just trying to get caught up.
All right. Well, thank you for making sure that you tuned in this Saturday, because we do have some topics and some conversations, and we're going to get through this one. But again, with the Rittenhouse case, I just don't understand how someone can be rewarded $1 million. I've never heard of it before. Now, coming up this Monday is the start of another case, if you guys recall, the Waffle House shooting, for which I had mentioned that this individual who was pleading insanity, temporary insanity, on the day that he went into the Waffle House, partially clothed. In other words, he only had on a shirt. He had nothing on the bottom side, according to the report. and went in and started shooting people. Jen, I believe it was four people. Three were black. One,
mm-hmm.
I think, was Hispanic. That's what he looks like, Hispanic guy. And this one black guy, got the courage to go after him and wrestle with him to get the gun, right, and threw it over the counter. But now his defense is temporary insanity. The judge has already said he's competent to go to trial. But the defense is going to still say, well, it's temporary at the moment. This was in 2018. And this guy looked like he's okay to me when I seen the videos of him sitting in the courtroom. He don't look crazy. They don't have him strapped to a chair. They don't have a spit mask on him. He's not acting dumb.
Maybe he had took some drugs or something. That you said he didn't have any clothes on except for the top. He didn't have nothing at the bottom.
Hmm. Maybe.
But the thing is that where you had the mindset to know that you were going to go somewhere with a weapon. You knew you intended to harm somebody. I don't think temporary insanity, because you planned this. This was planned. He didn't just all of a sudden go crazy. I don't think so. And had the mindset to say, you know what, I'm going to get my gun, and I'm going to go to a Waffle House, and I'm going to go and kill some folks. And now, all of a sudden, you know, I just lost it for just a moment. Even if you did, you're not mentally insane. You went crazy knowingly what you were doing. I don't buy that. I don't buy that story that just for a moment I blacked out. Do you think any of us here on the panel can right now go and shoot up a Waffle House or any place and say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I just went mentally insane.
Not at all.
No, nowhere.
Nowhere. Especially black folks. There's no way in hell you can
get away with saying that you had gas and you didn't know what was going on. But other than that, no, you know, it depends on how you say it. You know, not what you say, it's how you say it. You know that, Mike.
But I go back to what you said. It's the money aspect as far as getting a good defense attorney, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, Janet, you know, we've had some folks that's worked in law enforcement. You know, we've had everything from a friend of mine who's a 911 operator. You remember her, Janet. My nephew,
yeah,
who used to be a police officer. Of course, we've had Officer Crenshaw, you know, who's co-host, you know, even mm-hmm. Officer Mace and everything, you know, and we've had lawyers on the show. And it's interesting that no one has been able to really, that's how come I wanted to bring this up, and we never really got into it, about these cases where people say, oh, you know what, I just lost it at that moment, please forgive me. I mean, what's happening with our judicial system?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you guys, with the insanity plea, which this individual said, you know, if you plead insanity, yes, they're going to do a evaluation. You know, which they're going to go back to see, you know, what is your education as far as do you have the mindset of a person who only went to fifth grade or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, are you really intelligent? Are you really smart? And the evaluation is going to show if you got a high school diploma, if you went to college and everything, where does the insanity play into this? If you were smart at that point in your life, what made you snap And if you snap at this point in your life, then you don't have a mental illness. You just went crazy. As I said, a Jeffrey Dahmer, now that's mental. That's mental insanity. That guy had a mental problem. But at what point do we, you know, give a pass to folks who make these trees and they knew damn good and well what they were doing? And every state has a different punishment. Every state has a different punishment. Everywhere.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so as we watch cases from Georgia of what they're doing in Minnesota, or in New York or whatever, or Florida, we may think it should be the same punishment that we might have a harsher one here than what they have there. But that's where it comes to the fact that you got to know the law wherever you go. So if you visit certain states, you got to learn the law there. Spit on the sidewalk.
Yep.
Oh, you're going to do 30 days in jail. What? Yeah, it's against the law to spit on the sidewalk. You didn't know that? I don't live here. Well, now you know. You're going to do 30 days in jail. Here in Marietta, on the Marietta Square, which has a nice shrubbery and flowers and everything, they got little signs that says, pick up ye flower, land up in jail. It's the truth. I'm telling you, it's the truth. Pick up your flower, end up in jail. They're giving you a warning. And they got it written in that, you know, that script type writing there on a piece of wood everywhere in their flower beds. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So to close out this whole topic, I don't believe that Rittenhouse should get the $1 million. I think that's an insult to the dead or the victim's family. You know, a lot of times these stories become TV movies, and stories and books and everything on both sides. You know, I think, Janet, wasn't it where in the George Floyd case where the prosecution said they wanted the judge to rule that the three defendants could not make any money off of or anything of any kind of production or books.
It was a fundraiser, a GoFundMe for their defense fund, but they were guilty. So they said that they could not get that money because they were guilty. If they had been found innocent, I guess it would have been a different story. You know, but they made him shut that GoFundMe account down.
Interesting, isn't it, you guys?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I find it interesting, you know, of how it works. I want to go ahead and jump forward, unless anybody has another comment on this particular case.
No, I don't.
No? Okay. Ryan?
Right. Now, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. Last week, I mentioned, actually last week, I had said that we're going to talk about upbringing of children, the difference between when we were brought up and how kids are brought up now. And I did change topics. I kind of switched gears, and I apologize, Janet, I want to go back into that. I brought up the murder of Young Dolph, the rapper who was killed, and they arrested two individuals. They had them in custody. If you saw the video, and I wish that you, if you haven't seen it, watch the video when they were arraigned. People are saying, oh, one of them's going to talk. One of them's going to steal the goods. Well, talk about what? Because there's a lot of folks in the rap community say that this was a hit by some other known rappers. Now, that's the rumor out there. And you guys don't come looking for me. I'm just saying that that's the rumor out there that some other rappers made the payment. But I want to bring this up because, again, I say, and I've said this to Janet many a time, name a country and Western artist that have beef like rappers do to the point of murder. Name rock stars.
Not just country and Western, as you said, rock stars, R&B.
I was about to go down the list. Okay, I'm trying to go down the list. Name any other genre of music, and I'm talking about music. Granted, there was rumors about when David Ruffin dated Tammy Terrell, and there was stories about him beating up on her and everything, and that Marvin Gaye went and whooped David's ass for doing so. He didn't kill him. But there's stories that some folks say, well, that's true. He did whip David's ass for putting his hands on Tammy. Okay, it was a fight. But name any genre of music like this where people are actually losing their lives every day. And I saw an article, and I read it, and it just amaze me how many rappers that we don't know, but they're very well known in their region, right? Last year, over 1,000 individuals who call themselves rappers died by gun violence. Over 1,000 by gun violence. Some, they say, unknown. Some were due to COVID. But over 1,000 was due to gun violence. What the hell is going on?
Well, Mike.
And then the last thing I want to say is that, and you work with you, so I want to really put that in your corner. But the last thing I want to say, and then I'm going to shut up. But we all talk about how we need to do this and that and the other for the community, but the community don't do shit for itself. You know the lyrics to the songs. You know where there's beef going on. When a person starts rapping so fast, you can't understand the words. You need to slow it down and listen, because sometimes many of them are talking about beef they have with another rapper. That happens a lot. I ain't talking about Jay-Z and this, and the established ones. You know, some of the bigger names. They're smarter. They have other businesses. But what is really going on, Timon?
Well, you have guys like the dude that got killed in, I don't know if you know about it, that got killed in L.A. Before he did his concert, they killed him in the, they had a big fight in the backstage, and he got stabbed
at
in the
SoFi.
Neck.
At SoFi, just recently. Yeah, I think Snoop Dogg was there, right.
Right. That dude has just got out of jail. And some people think that he snitched. So a lot of times when you're getting locked up, like, you know, 6'9", they still got a hit out on him too. These dudes will, these guys will hurt you.
I believe it.
These guys, they this is a whole different game. I got guys sitting in jail right now. Oh, yeah, sir, I'll get my rap down. I'm like, bro, you had to go to jail to rap? You went and got a murder charge just so you can rap? Hell, you could have rapped on the outside.
Hello.
Now you want to be a rapper? Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm.
You got it all backwards. They live a whole different world than we do, and their parents don't know it. But then again, you got to check the parents, too, because I think they're all involved. This stuff just don't happen just by you walking out and smelling air. Somebody, you know, you got to direct people. You got to get people, you know, when you talk to a 10-year-old that can tell you about this gang, that gang, that means he's growing up in a gang lifestyle.
Exactly.
Growing
Thank
up
you.
In this from
a gang
from
mentality,
birth.
Yeah.
From birth,
yeah.
They're going in. But when you expose them to something new and take them out of that mentality, you don't get that. But if your kids ain't being exposed to other things, I'm sorry. All they'll know is, and
they
in that gang life, tell them nothing.
Right. It's interesting.
They're the smartest people in the world. They'll tell you, "Oh no, man, you don't know, man. Let me hip you to the game." So you gonna tell me about life? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you say, "Well, wasn't it 6 years ago? Weren't you 10?" Yeah, I was. But now he know more than you do.
Right.
That's what.
But I find it interesting that you said that is so true. You know, because here's the thing that is so funny. What you just said. A lot of rappers would tell stories about not having a family, not having a father, not having a mother, and this and the other. But there's a lot of them out there now. Hell, Rick Ross, from what I understand, hell, he used to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, that, hell, he used to work with the system, right, and became a rapper.
Right.
There's other rappers out there that have had legitimate jobs and said, "Hey, I want to be a rapper," and start telling stories that they never lived, experiences they never experienced. It just sounds good on tape. And that's the crazy part about it. This violence and this whole thing about, you know, I got holes and bees and blah, 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 and I got money and this, that, and the other, and flashing the, you know, the ice and this, that, and the other. They're telling these young kids, that's the life you want to live. That's the life I live. You deserve it at any means possible. By any means possible. But here's the turnaround. But you could get offed by a jealous rapper.
Well,
by some words said on
the phone. If you get more, yeah, they're doing it for Instagram likes. So you can get, you know, they can come by. Like, there's kids at my job right now. They're in jail because they killed a kid who had, you know, they killed a kid because he had more Instagram followers than the other one did. So they were trying to intimidate him, and when they couldn't intimidate him, they put a bullet in him. Now they're sitting in jail on murder charge.
Because of followers.
Because you had
really?
More than, he had more than other ones. Yeah.
Really? I mean, I'm listening to the silence, the dead silence on this show. Because I'm sure all of you guys are like in awe. I'm sure you've heard these stories and everything. But again, I go back to, but we're talking about what's wrong with the black community. Many shows that I know of say we all got to get together and this and the other. But there it is right there, something as simple as social media. And don't be fooled. They're not stopping it. They're really not. We've seen murders on social media, and they say, "Oh, well, we're going to edit that out. We're going to stop it before it airs." No, you're not. They're not wanting to help the police to find the killers because they have to, in some cases, I'm not going to say all, they have to go after Meta, which used to be Facebook and Instagram, to give up the information for them to do their investigations for these senseless murders. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of wonder, is there a conspiracy here?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a conspiracy here that, hey, look, if they're going to kill each other, let's make it easier for them. Let them do all their threats on social. Hey, we're you know, don't kill the messenger. You know that old term.
Yeah.
Don't kill the messenger. Don't kill our company. We're just sharing the information so they can keep killing themselves. And that's the reality in my mind of it. They
well,
don't have to go out there in the streets.
Well, you right now they have this,
you're doing the work of the Klan for us. Klan ain't got to kill you no more. Y'all already killing yourselves.
Right. Let Cotton chime in for a moment there. Chime in, you were about to say something?
I was about to say that guy that y'all are talking about in LA, his name was Draco, but now they have these For You pages. TikTok has this thing where, and some of the other social media sites as well, the more likes you get, you make money.
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram doesn't have it in other, but if they have a For You page, people go there because they get paid for you to come to their page. If you go to TikTok and if you have enough followers, people can send you little roses and things. And when you buy that rose, it's 99 cents. The person whose page it is, they get a portion of that money along with TikTok. So these people are doing these outlandish things for likes because eventually they get paid. And then some people will come in and ask them to sponsor a product that they may have out there, and then they get paid for that.
True.
So we reward more bad behavior sometimes than good behavior.
And exactly. Well, that goes back to the young man who, you know, is going to get the $1 million. So the court is going to reward him that $1 million for bad behavior, poor decision. But mm-hmm. here's the thing is that where at what point do we as the black community, and I hate the term community, because it sounds so small to me. This used to be a black, or this used to try to be a black nation. And I ain't talking about Islam, but just blacks helping blacks. Black people witnessing racism, witnessing hatred. But now we hate each other more than white folks do. More than white folks hate us, we hate each other more. Truth be told.
Now, how did that get set up, Mike?
You tell me. The mic is open. You tell me.
I'll tell you how it got set up. As long as we were doing well in segregation. Remember, there were black businesses. Remember Bruce's mm-hmm. Beach? You know, they took that out in 1914. I had a guy tell me, he said, well, you know, it's, you know, I kind of agree with the Klan. They
I know
they
about
should
Bruce
be allowed
Beach,
to be what they own and whatever.
Yes.
But guess what? We were allowed, we wanted to be with our own. And every time we were with our own and built our stuff, the white folks burned it down. So what'd you do?
Or took
you
it.
You created
or,
integration.
Or they took it. Or they
okay?
took it. Or they
you
took it.
You created integration.
Right.
Right? So you got integration. So Jackie Robinson goes to swing a bat to play baseball, right? But guess what? That wasn't about racism. That wasn't about a bat. All that was about was money.
Money.
Because guess what?
Money, yeah.
Black folks were doing well in baseball, and the white dudes knew that eventually these brothers was going to take over, so they got ahead of the game. And they broke the color barriers and let brothers in so they can get a cut of that money. So if I send
right.
you to college, right?
I'll
send you to college, mm-hmm. right, Mike? And then you come back from college, and you go back to your neighborhood, what they tell you? You talking white. You sound
well,
like
also,
white.
The thing is that we're, unfortunately, a lot of blacks were through high school and college and didn't know a damn thing. They passed them through, as we all know, because of money. They would get
right.
good scores on their tests because they wanted to promote that black individual athlete to get to college and do what they wanted to use him for is for the sport, which college is, I mean, wow, the money that colleges make through collegiate activities is amazing. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying, Mike. That's why they start letting brothers in. They saw that we were making money. It was always about money. They put Jackie Robinson in there because he talked better than a lot of them brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Always about money. They knew what was coming. Shoot, I mean, Black Wall Street was clearly they knew back then what was coming.
Yeah, that's a, and not only Black Wall Street, but many others like Black Wall Street.
Many
that
others.
Were
you can go all around the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why
there's a map
create
of
create something called the Green Book? Come on. You know, Floyd Patterson created He created an automobile just like Ford did. He started with a courage business, and then he created the automobile. But once we start integrating, integration kills a lot of black togetherness. A lot of people don't know it. They get pissed off if you say that.
So my question is this, and Ron, you've been kind of quiet. Janet, you have, but I want to see if you guys have any questions or comments on this part of the show. I want to go ahead and, because we're going to get to the top of the hour in 5 minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and take a music break at the top of the hour, and something I pulled up I think is very interesting. But, Ron, you have any comment on this segment?
Yeah, you know, I think it was Cotton that mentioned something about poverty. She conveyed something about poverty, and I'm up here reading some things that you want to look at the root cause of rap music, you know, that causes bad behavior. And I think some of the root causes of bad lyrical rap music stems from poverty and deprivation, racism, poor leadership, a lack of corporate investment, lack of opportunities, resources, and so on. I believe that all of those things contribute to the young mind when they go out there. I remember, I think it was in the movie NWA, Ice Cube was talking about, I'm rapping about what I see happens in my community.
Right.
And unfortunate, so, you know, it's really a fine line there, because I happen to don't believe that it's bad lyrical rap. I don't believe it always leads people to violence. I've watched violent stuff all my life, you know, cowboy movies and Bugs Bunny beating up people, you know, and
true.
I think people who are, in my opinion, I think there's some psychology here where some people are already prone to violence, whether they hear bad rap music or not.
Okay.
I think some people are already prone to the music. This is kind of the icing on the cake. It might be something that triggers them to want to go do something bad. But I hear you. I don't want to just dump on the rappers, because I know that it's a gift. They like to rap. If I knew them personally, the ones who put out bad lyrical content, I would try to sway them, like, hey, man, you're influencing our community. Why don't you rap about something positive? Like, I used to love Gil Scott-Heron who was a guy, oh, I can't think of their, a Public Enemy. They would do a lot of political type rap, making things that make you go, think about stuff. So, because there's bad rock music out there that has
Chuck. It was Chuck D.
Chuck D, there you go, right. And
Public Enemy.
So, and you're right, the black community, we do have to do a better job policing ourselves. Tynan said something interesting. You know, we had black businesses, Black Wall Street. Michael, you and I come out from Pasadena. We had a lot of black businesses growing up. But the truth be told, Tynan, is this. You think about other races, the Native Americans, the Chinese, the Jewish people, they had their structural businesses destroyed, yet as a people, they stay together. So the real question is, okay, right. So what, you destroy Black Wall Street? Come on, brothers. Can we still stay together and patronize each other? Can our dollars come into our community and turn around 100 times before it goes out? That way, it doesn't matter if you destroy the structure, as long as you don't destroy the mindset that we carry, the richness as black people, then we can win. But that's what concerns
and the monetary,
me. We
and
don't
the monetary,
stay
right, and the monetary aspect of it, staying in the community. The black dollar stays in the community for a matter of days. Of days.
An hour and a half.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll give it a day, okay? I was being nice. But think about where you shop and where you spend your money. Right. It just stays in there for a short period of time and it's out. Most of the businesses and I'll say the majority of black communities, your liquor stores, who own them? The majority of them. Your weave shops, your nail shops, who own them? They ain't shopping in your neighborhood. They going to where they live and taking the money with them. It's not being spent in your neighborhood, in your community, as we say. It's not. And the whole reason why I bring up this conversation, because to me it's a concern. I'm like, you know, we talk about it and talk about it, but no one's ever saying, how do we invest into the community? Now, there are some areas, I have to say, that are really working on it. In the Crenshaw District, Ron, you know the Crenshaw area in L.A.
Yeah.
In fact, I know that Timon knows that, right? You have a lot of black businesses in the Crenshaw District now. And it's being supported. Unfortunately, there's still violence going on in that area. But at least there's some black businesses there that are still thriving and still, you know, moving forward. Because they don't want to have just one store. They want to have four or five stores in different areas, probably different states, you know. But at what point do we, and I want to go back to what you said as far as lyrical content. Then I'm going to shut up, and then we're going to take our break because it's 7:02. When I listen to rap, it makes me think about back in the day when I was a kid trying to listen to a Richard Pryor album or a Red Fox album. Those are words you just couldn't just say. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't tell a Richard Pryor joke or a Red Fox joke in front of my parents. They're like, what the hell you say?
Pow!
You don't cuss in my house. Okay? Reality be told. Those were words you just didn't use unless you were an adult, right? And even as the child of your parent, you didn't cuss in front of your parents. You know what it was called? It was called respect. Respecting your elders. Respecting the fact that you don't talk that way. But that was just something that was, you know, I guess to listen to those type of albums, you did in secret and private. Now things are more open. I get it. I understand it. But when, as you said, when you having kids who are not even 18, who can't even buy the record, not even 18 years old, can recite every word, you know, a cuss word, and even use it in public, they be walking down the street rapping and saying, motherfucking shit, bitch. And you're like, what? People tell me that's the new generation. I'm like, really? That's the new generation? No self-respect? Because words have power.
Yes,
so if you don't have respect, and if you have to cuss every time you open up your mouth, and I hear folks who, young kids who, I mean, every time they open up their mouth, I'm like, what kind of person is this later on in life as far as having a business?
Yeah.
Is he going to have to curse every time he says something? Are we at that point? I'm just asking. That's why I do this platform. I'm just asking. I invite folks who, I invite a lot of young folks. You know, we've had some young individuals on the show before. And they said, yeah, well, you know, this, that, and the other. And many of them were like, well, that's not my style. Yeah, I understand that's not your style. But why is it becoming the norm? Why are we supposed to accept bad behavior?
They think it's cute. I'm going to say this real quick. They think it's like you see some of these YouTube videos with a little kid that's in a kindergarten class. They think it's cute to see them cuss out the teacher. They think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I must admit, like, wow, that kind of shocked me to see a five-year-old tell and I saw this. It's recently a video. A black kid tells a black teacher, F you, and then calls her the B word. And so they had the kid escort out. But unfortunately, there's a segment, you guys, oh, boy, I hope your listeners don't get mad at me. There's a segment in our black community that thinks that that's cute or funny.
Right.
And so if we don't address it like you're doing on this show, way to go, Michael. Addressing that, if we don't talk about this, y'all, like timing said, white folk, they just, the Ku Klux Klan, I'll put it that way, they laughing. They said, we ain't got to do nothing to y'all. Y'all do it to yourself. We'll just kick back and watch the movie.
You know what? I'm glad that you get it. I'm glad, Ron, that you get it, because that has always been on my mind before you even came here. As I said, I've listened to folks say, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. And it's like, what are we doing? We got to start with us first. We got to start with us first.
Yeah.
And why are we okay with what our kids do? You know, and I want to ask this question. And I want to ask everybody, and I want you to give me the right answer. If you know a parent, who cusses all the time in front of their kids, calls their kids little bastard. You been bring your bastard ass over here, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I'll spank your ass. I'll beat the shit out of you. Okay. Yes, this show is rated R. I will cuss at times. And then your kid goes to school, and let's say the teacher at the school who is teaching your kid, and the teacher at the school says, hey, you little bastard, you're failing in math. You don't get your grades up, I'm going to have to fail you, so you better go ahead and get your ass in order. Otherwise, you're going to fail math. Now, I'm going to give you this assignment, and you better bring it back here in the morning, and it better be right. You understand me? And your child says, okay, right? But the teacher called your kid a bastard. Get your shit together. He goes home and tells the mama, might be you, the teacher cussed me out. What did he say? He called me a bastard. I know that MF didn't call you no bastard, but the teacher might be wrong.
Oh, wow.
Okay, he might be right. Now mama running up there to the school to cuss out the teacher. Who's wrong? The mama who was cussing that kid, or the teacher who was just really doing the same thing that mama or daddy was doing, calling you a bastard?
They both
Who's wrong.
They okay. both are wrong.
So my question is, okay, but right, they're both wrong. But the thing is that who will get in trouble first? The teacher.
Oh, yeah.
The answer
absolutely.
Is, I'm sorry, the teacher would get in trouble first and lose his job. Because he's doing just what is the norm. He's doing exactly what was the norm in that family to that child and what that mother would do. Do you follow the story? That's the reality that we're looking at. Don't talk to my kid the way I talk to them. But your kid is the one who's up here cussing. Rapping amongst his friends and everything. The teacher hears him rapping, you know, at lunchtime and everything. He's using cuss words and everything. So the teacher says, I want to fit in. I'll go ahead and talk the same way they do. You're going to lose your job, teacher. You're going to lose your job. Why? Because I'm trying to fit in. No, the way you're doing it, well, they're saying the same words. Yeah, but you're not supposed to do it. Is that not a double standard? If mama cusses at the kid and the kid cusses too, how come the teacher can't cuss? that's a part of relating to each other. Am I right or wrong? We're on the same level.
No,
am I right or wrong?
No, teacher,
my kid is school cussing, then you need to call me so I can get that under, because no matter what I'm doing at home, he ain't got no business doing it in school.
Okay,
right.
I like your answer.
Right.
I like your answer.
Right.
That's now. So that tells me that you're a concerned parent, that you don't have, that you have raised your child, or you're raising your child not to be that way. But there are parents out there that don't give a damn,
right,
don't care, don't monitor, don't talk, don't communicate to see what is relationship with their child in public school, with the teachers, with the other students. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, this was a hypothetical situation out there. If a teacher took the chance and said, well, let me talk the way they talk and cuss, but, you know, I'm keeping it real. Junior, your ass is failing. If you don't get your shit together, your ass, I'm going to fail your motherfucking ass. Excuse my language, y'all. But, I mean, honestly.
And
if Junior goes home
and
tells his mama and daddy that the teacher talked to him that way, mama and daddy's going to be at the school upset because mama and daddy talk the same way. Okay?
Right.
That's what we got.
And I get it because sometimes you have to speak to people in the language they understand. But, you know, like you said, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but a teacher like a police officer, you guys, they're professional. They have gone to school and training after training. So guess what? Teacher, I'm a teacher, and I work in law enforcement and timing. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell every teacher, every police officer, you don't get that pass. You don't get
no.
You're supposed to be held to a higher standard. So you're supposed to learn how to take it, note it down, and tell the parent. Never mind how bad the parent is. You're supposed to stay professional, Mr. Teacher, Mr. Police Officer. You're supposed to keep your cool, Mr. Teacher, Mr. Police Officer. And you know what? We live in a society, unfortunately, I'm going to say it, when Trump was president, a new mindset came. We're like, nope, I'll say what I want to a parent. Really? You're going to get your ass whooped, man. You better stop it and be professional. That's what's going to happen to you, kid.
Let me go to Janet.
I would like to see us go back to the days when the teacher could paddle the children and getting out of line.
Well, I don't think that day will come, trust me, because some folks might get shot. Okay, but I understand your point. Yeah, you're saying back in the days of corporal punishment where, corporal punishment will never come back.
The teacher
now,
they had the paddle where if you got out of line, you getting swatted. How many ever times? They let the parents know your child is about to get paddled, blah, 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 on this day for doing this.
No, they never gave the parents a warning. They just did that shit. Trust me. The thing is that where I was forced to, I was able.
In my school, the parents were warned ahead of time that their child was going to get tested.
Okay, but as my witness, okay, I'm going to tell you this. Ron Jones and I know each other from high school, not elementary school, or from junior high school. But the thing is that I know for a fact that in my day, only one time I was threatened to get paddled. And trust me, I pleaded my ass out of getting a paddle. I was like, trust me, crazy. It wasn't me. I didn't throw that across the classroom. It wasn't me. I'm telling you. The teacher, Mr. Johnson, he saw something fly across the class, but it didn't come from my desk. I'm telling you. And he showed me that damn paddle. When he showed me that paddle, I was like, no, sir, it wasn't me, because it had holes in it, which would suck up the meat when they swatted. I heard the stories, right, because I knew some friends of mine who used to get paddles, and they would tell you. I'm like, well, shit, I don't want to experience that. So the thing is, I was almost, excuse me, one to get paddled, but I pleaded my case. So I should have been a defense attorney. All right. So with that being said, no, I don't believe in corporal punishment coming back. The corporal punishment should still be from the home. But then when they changed the laws and gave children the rights, and don't get me wrong, there are some abusive parents out there, and they need to be spotted. You know, we know this. There are some parents who are very abusive to their kids. But parents should still be able to discipline. And I have some friends of mine, and I want to go ahead and make sure I said I was going to do the music break, which we're going to do next. But there are some friends of mine who've been on the show, even an entertainer, said, no, you should not put your hands on kids. Well, how do you read the Bible is up to you, but spare the rod, spare the child. Okay, so however you look at that, that's how you look at it. I look at it being, you don't spank them and discipline them every now and then, you know, then they're going to wind up being that child that you're going to say, he never was like that. I never had to deal with that. I never, you know, I should have seen the signs and this and the other. Because that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing kids committing murders, you guys, killing innocent individuals at schools, at movie theaters, young folks, committing murder. And then pleading, which we're seeing now coming up, insanity. Yes, it's insane. It's insane the way our society is at this moment in time. It really is. So as I scroll down and try to find the track I want to play for our quick music break, I want to come back and kind of like wrap this whole topic up, and then we'll move on to our next topic. But it's sad. Here's a clip from the movie New Jack City, and I grabbed it off of YouTube, and it's interesting to me. Check it out. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with my co-host, Janet Davis, the one and only, well, he has to leave. He's only available for 1 hour, and which is time and shift. The one and only Cotton Campbell, and our new co-host, Mr. Ron Jones. We'll be right back.
Hey, dreadlock. Where the bum buck that on semi
hey,
on top top of that bitch?
Listen, man, let's stick with you. Roster man, I'm here to tell you Nino Brown says your services are no longer needed in the community.
Who the bum buck, Lottie?
Yeah. Now that's how you kill somebody, my brother. You get right up on the motherfucker and bam! Throw his brains all over the sidewalk
in broad daylight.
Drop the ball, baby.
My brother, I think there's been a little misunderstanding. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now look, you are going to give up those apartments.
Right? Yes, sir.
And you are going to turn over control of the Carter to the brothers.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, if you don't, I guess the shotgun goes off. It blows your big fat head off clean before you can get your clothes back on.
Yes, sir.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Living, just enough. Living, just for the city. Living, just enough.
And now we're living just enough for the city. Living
for the New Jack City.
Boom, boom,
boom. Do things, bad things, for that. Do things, bad things, for that.
Almighty dollar,
oh,
get
your
people, don't let money
come out my house.
Don't let money
keep on changing up your mind. Don't let money change it for love of money. People will steal from their brother for love of money. People will rob their own mother. Money. Just enough for the city I'm living. Just for the city I'm leaving. Just enough for the city. Just enough for the city. Leaving. Just enough.
Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I'm at. My co-host, Janet Davis, is also here in the ATL. Ron Jones in Arizona. KC, Cotton Campbell is in KC. We had Mr. Time and Ship from Los Angeles, California, also on the show. And time is very busy, so he spends at least an hour with us and then has to move on to the next conversation. Hey, you guys, I played that because if you think about it, that was the movie or clip from a scene from the movie New Jack City. And it's so amazing to me that if you listen to the dialogue, how a movie that came out in the 80s? It's the same storyline. For the love of money, regardless, it's the love of money. People are willing to rob their own brother, sister, father, mother, and even die. And that's the society, unfortunately, that we're living in my opinion. We got to do better. They never solved the murder of Tupac. They never solved the murder of Biggie. Michael Jackson died. What was it? Drug overdose. Well, they sentenced a guy, Dr. Conrad Murray. Whitney Houston died of what? A drug overdose. Never found out where she was getting drugs from. Prince died of what? A drug overdose. These are icons, legends, and they're all dead. But again, I say, name any genre of music that has so many deaths, tragic deaths, as these R&B artists and now the rap artists. Name one. Now, I'm going to say, of course, there's been some rock and roll artists who have OD'd. Yes, there's been Janet Joplin back in the 60s. There's been Jimi Hendrix, some here in this decade. But the rappers are dying, not from drug overdose. They're dying from gun violence. And this is the future. And they're dying young, in their teens and 20s. These are young individuals who are getting, you know, spotlight and fame. Money, I guess. That's what they do it for. The next thing you know, you hear they got murdered. Really? Why? Oh, there was a beef with this camp over, really? Over music? Over what he said, she said shit? Are we that ignorant Or are you that ignorant that in order to be successful in life, in order to live a good life, you become a celebrity, you post shit, and you're willing to die over your art, over your music, and not live to see your child grow up or see your grandkids? You willing to do that? That's amazing to me. It's, I won't say amazing, it's really mind-boggling.
And sad.
All right, so we're back. Yeah, it's mind-boggling that, you know, because I've heard a lot of folks, I've heard a lot of young people say, hey, I'm going to die anyway. Yeah, but is today the day?
Right.
God only determines when you die. Because he created you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to always remember when we first came here with nothing. When you're born, you come here with nothing. When you leave here with what? Nothing. So all the money that you can make, and folks say, enjoy life while you can. And, okay, I'm going to enjoy life. But I'm not going to cut my life off based on the material thing.
Yes.
I'm not going to cut my
life
short.
Because you want to be popular.
Right. I'm not going to cut my
life
short.
Yes.
You look at people who are living to be 90 to 100 years old, which we all know that there's quite a few of them that we've heard that passed away recently. But they didn't get in no trouble to end their lives by a violent death. But unfortunately, in our communities, especially in the rap community, which it really bothers me, that with the talent that you have, you know, to get, in order for you to get followers, first of all, to get people to follow you, and enjoy your music. And I'm not blaming the people who got killed. I'm blaming the folks who killed them. Maybe you could learn from the folks that you killed. Where did the beef start? How come it started? Where did the jealousy start? And you feel like if I kill this person off, then I can do better. No, they're going to follow your ass. They're going to find out who killed them. They're going to do some investigation. Especially in the black community, especially when it's a high-profile case, I'll say that. If it's high-profile, oh, they're going to investigate the shit out of it. If it was a low-level rapper, you know, it might go unsolved for years. But if it's a high-profile, they're going to find your ass, like they found the one who killed Young Dolph. And those guys are going to go to court. What the outcome is going to be, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. All right, so let me go to my co-host, Janet Davis. We have about 20 minutes left on the show, and I'm sorry I did change the format of the show of what we originally was going to talk about, but I want to go back to one story, because these are stories that we have to all the listeners that we can talk about next week, which I'm going to definitely do. But I want to scroll back up here. One that you brought to my attention. Where is it? Oh, is that it? No, that's not it. I apologize, you guys. Hold on a minute. All kind of like, I think it was this one.
Okay, so we still have celebrities that are thirsty for likes as well. So it's not just regular people or rappers or people like that. But I don't know if y'all remember the story they did about Wendy Williams and the statement that she made about the young man who got killed from TikTok. And when she made the statement, and he wasn't a rapper, but she made the statement, he was murdered, and he had more likes than me. He got more likes than me. Her only concern, her biggest concern was that this young man who was, I want to say he was 21 or 22, was murdered for, I mean, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But her only concern was that he had more likes than her.
Well, that's a problem.
And she's a grown woman. Grown woman who's been in the public eye for God knows how long. But this, and I'm just saying that this is how some of our adults are behaving. So then our young people are picking up some of those habits too.
So let me ask you a question. Why is that? Whose fault is it that they're picking up those habits? Whose fault?
It's the adults. The only way for people to learn something is learned behavior. When you're watching the celebrities and the people, some of the people that they actually admire do some of the things that they do, and they're still making money, and we're still rewarding them with bad behavior. And you know, I say it all the time. So we're going to reward the people that's doing dumb stuff out here? So we're going to pay this person $25,000 because they're out here being stupid. You're giving this man $1 million and he murdered two people. Yeah, that makes no sense.
Ron, are you there? Do you agree that it's the adults? And how do we change it? How do we change it? We talk about it, but how do we change it? How do we... Because in my opinion, and I'm not saying all the young folks are out of control, not all of them. There are some out there that are still respectful. But unfortunately, we have given young people a pass to feel like they're adults. We really have. Young kids are growing up faster than what they should. Young kids are being exposed to too much stuff. Faster than they should. They're not growing up a regular life. What is a regular life? To be a teenager. Young kids that are teenagers, or I'm sorry, 11 and 12 years, some that 8 and 9 years old, are experiencing things that 18 years old see and have to adjust to it and understand it. So is that... I mean, is that what we're dealing with, and is that the reason, in your opinion?
Yeah, and I will say this. Janet hit it on the nail. Parents, teachers, educators, we have underestimated people with bad behavior. We have underestimated people with bad behavior. They have a crowd. I'll say it again. We have underestimated people with bad behavior, stupid people. They have an audience, and we've underestimated. Those people get on TikTok. They get on Instagram, Facebook, and that generation, and even some adults, sadly, can't wait to see stupidity on TikTok. And I think as our generation, Mike, Janet, Timon, Casey, we've underestimated their audience. And there's where we got to get better. We got to get aggressive and attack that bad behavior with some good behavior shows like what you're doing here on TMGS. We got to do some good shows. We have to do something to lure people in to want to hear or be a model of good behavior so that can get contagious, if you will, to young people. Because right now, bad behavior, man, they got the ear. Think about it. They can't wait to see the next stupid, what's that show called, Jackass?
Mm-hmm.
What's that show called, Jackass? People can't wait to turn that show on to see bad behavior or ridiculous. They want to see somebody do something dumb. They think it's funny. They think it's cool. And I must Well, again, I must admit, I have underestimated those types of shows because my generation looked at those shows like, that's a dumb show. No one's going to watch it. But unfortunately, they're not only watching it, they're watching it at the same time listening to rap music. Every third word is MF or the N word or the B word. And while eating some Cheetos and ranch dressing and drinking Mountain Dew, and then that same kid is coming out to your establishment, walking in the mall. That's who you're dealing with, you guys. That's who are you dealing with?
Did you say Cheetos, ranch dressing, and Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
I don't know what that combination. Oh,
that's
my God.
Dew, man. Hey, look here. The Mountain Dew. Listen, you guys, now you can drink the Mountain Dew, go do somebody, get somebody, and use temporary insanity. There you go.
Well, there's an ingredient in Mountain Dew I read an article about. I can't recall the name, and I don't want to say it now, but I'm going to take a look at it. That they say that is definitely something you need to avoid, but I'm going to look at it and do some my research on how come Mountain Dew is so addictive, but there is a definite ingredient there. But, you know, going back to what you said as far as, to me, unfortunately, parenting has become more of a friendship thing. And let me repeat that. Parenting has become more of a friendship thing between the parents and the kids. Parents don't want to be a mother and father. Not saying all. But they really look at their kids as their friends. They treat them in a lot of situations like a friend, truth be told. And as a kid gathers more information and gathers more knowledge of being an adult, which they shouldn't have that much knowledge, you know, knowledge comes in intervals when growing up. You follow me? I mean, a five-year-old, you don't teach a five-year-old about sex, okay? You don't do that. There's a point in time that you educate them or talk to them about that. But unfortunately, kids now are being exposed to so much, and the parents are like, well, they understand. They get it. They should know now, you know. Why wait till later to teach them? The earlier they learn, the better. Not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. So that's what I gather now. And again, I always say my point of view is my point of view. And if you don't like it, well, so the fuck what? But that's what I think.
Right.
A lot of parents, unfortunately, are allowing their kids to grow up too fast. You know, and the kid is inundated with too much information. They can't compute it in their minds, you know, what's right and wrong. They don't have the maturity to understand certain things. You follow me? They're not, they haven't experienced enough life or seen enough of as a child, to understand when they do become an adult. Does that make sense? I hope it does.
Absolutely, yes.
Everything's just being thrown in their face. And then they make a decision, well, mama says this, mama says that, and this is okay. Well, I'm going to make it okay. I'm going to talk to folks the way I want to. I'm going to respond the way I want to. And I think that is the problem that we have in our community or our nation, however you want to look at it, where we have no control as far as, and when you use the term control, young folks might say, well, you can't control me. Well, wait a minute. You still live, your ass still live at home. Yes, I controlled everything in this house. But I've seen more kids who, like, they have control of the house more than the parent. And it's like, your job is just to go to work, feed me, clothe me, and then when that's done, I do whatever the hell I want to do. Right? And again, I say, I'm not saying every child, but unfortunately too many black children are being taught that way. When I say taught, I mean the parents are allowing it. Protecting your child is very important. Protecting them from negative influences and negative people. My parents protected me by telling me, have your ass at home at a certain time. Until I was grown enough or old enough to be out later. Why is an 11 or 12-year-old outside at midnight? Why? What are they doing outside at midnight? There's nothing out there good in those streets, as you've always been told. And so why are we allowing that? I ask these questions because I keep seeing what the hell is going on in the quote-unquote communities. And until we can answer those questions, nothing is going to change. So I think that we need to really address these things. We need to really talk about them. And this show alone isn't going to change the world or change the communities. But as we get more people listen to it, and the fact that some of the old school ways are the best ways in order to save your child. I know some young kids, I know some parents that some folks would be like, wow, they hard on their kid. They think, no, they're trying to protect their child. They're trying to raise their child in the right way. They're not going to let the street swallow them up. Remember, individuals say, I join a gang because that feels like family. So if you have a family, why let them out there in the wilderness and get swallowed up by the wolves? Why allow that? Janet Davis, you have a question or comment on this topic? Okay, Janet, I think she might have herself on mute.
Michael, thank you for, yes, I was on mute because I have company. But I appreciate you going back over and talking about the topic we had last week. I agree with everything that Ron and Cotton had to say. And Time.
Cotton.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I said Ron, Cotton, and Timon. Yeah, so there's nothing else left for me to say because I, too, also think that social media plays a major role in what's going on with our children today because a lot of parents, instead of being a parent, they want to sit their child in front of a TV or give them a phone or a tablet and think that's babysitting them, but it's not, so.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yep. I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I see a 3-year-old sitting in a shopping cart at Walmart with an actual tablet. I'm like, that baby can hold on to that tablet and pressing the hell out of pressing all the pads and everything, looking at whatever they want to look at. And I'm like, wow. But see, and that's what's amazing because all of us have been blessed to see the change in the world technology-wise. And I know we only got about 15 minutes left, but think about how we have been born in an era. We've seen everything, the change of the cell phone, the TV, the space thing, okay? You used to land on the moon. We don't do the moon anymore. Now we're trying to get to Mars. Oh, we figured out how to take off in the space and land right back on the same damn pad. We figured that out. We figured out how we could just talk to a speaker and have it call the number. We figured out how we can, you know, the biggest thing that happened back in the day when I was growing up was the remote control for the TV. You didn't have to get up.
Come on.
You didn't have to get up to turn the channel anymore.
With
then
the
we
long
had the
cord
remote,
hanging on it.
The long cord came. Okay, we had that. But now you could say, turn to channel 7. Click, click.
Nice.
This voice says, channel 7. What channel would you like to see? Unlock my door. Door is unlocked. Start my car. Look at the things we take for granted that we do every day due to technology. Now, next week, because we don't have enough time, but I want to really get into that topic of really we've become lazy. We've become really lazy. We don't want to get up and do that. We don't even want to turn the damn ignition anymore.
No.
We've become lazy.
I saw a movie a long time ago. It was a science fiction how people had got so lazy they end up having long arms, short legs, big heads because all they did was push buttons and sit in front of a screen. And I believe we're going to that. You know,
Find out the name of that movie. Research and find out the name of
that. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'll put it on our page. But it was. It was, you know, and they ran around looking real short legs, long arms, and big heads like waterheads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, find the name of that movie. But the thing is that next week, because we're running out of time, but next week I want to talk about technology because, Janet, you know, we talked about that about maybe 3 years ago on the show. But, you know, every year there's something new. You got cars that drive themselves. I mean, we become lazy. I see videos of folks eating McDonald's. Now, if you're eating a ribeye steak, a Kobe beef or whatever, you know, but these folks are eating McDonald's and Burger King. They're like, this is why I bought the car. That's why you bought the damn car, so you can eat some damn Burger King and McDonald's and not have to drive? Are you serious? You're driving a Tesla? That's why you bought it? So you can eat? That's what they say. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Wow.
How much time is in a day? 24 hours. There's 24 hours a day. Is your schedule that full? But this is why you buy all these things. So next week, you guys, we're going to definitely talk about technology from, you know, the things that we had at our homes. I want you guys to share it from the remote control to, you know, even now you look nowadays, you got the Roomba vacuum. Remember when your mom or dad used to say, hey, go vacuum those rooms. Go vacuum those rooms. And you had to move. You couldn't just vacuum the area available. You had to move the coffee table and everything because they knew you didn't get it because it wouldn't show that vacuum mark, right? You know, the vacuum always going to show where you hit and miss, right? Be like, you didn't vacuum under there. So you had to move everything off the damn table, move the table. You know I'm telling the truth. You know, there ain't no lie.
Yeah.
You know, but now you got Roomba and all these other gadgets. We become a very lazy society. Convenience is cool. But as we keep progressing and going forward, there's some of the simplest things technology cannot cure. And so let's kind of think about what can technology cure? Because it's surely not curing the death rate with guns and violence, which is growing and rising. This year alone in New York, many police officers were shot and killed. Technology hasn't changed that. The loss of death. Or the loss of life, I'm sorry. But let's do that next week. Hey, just a real quick, let's kind of like recap on the conversation. Kyle Rittenhouse, not going to get his gun back, but might get $1 million.
Wow.
How that's going to happen, I don't know. Coming this Monday, the Waffle House shooting, trial begins. And you know, I know there's a lot of folks who listen to the show and be like, well, Mike, you always talking about, you know, politics and crimes and everything. Yeah, you used to talk about recording artists and have guests on. Yes, I'm going to bring in some special guests. It's the first of the year, and a lot of them are working on a lot of things themselves. And we've already booked a few. They said that they will be on the show, but, you know, you don't rush the best things immediately. You save them for last, and this will not be the last. But coming up in the next month, we do have some special guests that are going to be joining the show, and I'm really happy to have them. Just got to go by their schedule, you know what I mean? They got booked before I could book them, so I have to wait my turn. So, and some you know and some you don't know. So stay tuned to TMGS along with myself and the co-host, and we'll bring back the music interviews and the great stories that many of our guests from the past and our upcoming guests will share with you in the future. So with that being said, we have 8 minutes left. Janet, go ahead and give a shout-out. Where can everybody find you? Which we know it's right here, but go ahead, as we normally do.
Yeah, you can always find me on the Michael Gay Show, TMGS, and you can always email me at janet.davis49@gmail.com. And you can find me on Facebook.
All right. Cotton Campbell, busy individual, great product, because I've seen you promoting your product, your books, and everything, and give us a little information about how to find you and how to get your books.
You can find me all over Amazon, Goodreads, WordPress. I'm on all social media platforms under Cotton Campbell. So if you type in Cotyn Campbell, you will find me. Yes, I am an author. I have a CD out. It's been out for a while. And I have a body butter, I have a Nutribirth, and now I have gorgeous glasses that I've been promoting. So, yeah, I'm everywhere. I'm doing a lot. So I will be performing.
Oh, so
I think it's next
week. We got to do a segment on the Cotton Campbell product line.
Yeah. And I'm doing some community work as well. So I'm out. When I'm in Kansas City, I'm feeding the homeless, and we're doing things to keep the homeless as warm as possible.
Okay. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at that probably next week, because to me that's dear to my heart. You know, because I see a lot of homeless folks, and there's this one guy I see, and he's got all kinds of covers and everything. A shopping cart full. But this brother has on sandals every day, and I'm like, oh my God, I will collapse if my feet were exposed. And not making a joke, but I'm just saying that this is something that this guy deals with every day. And if you talk to him, he's really intelligent.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did this brother get to this point? You know, so yeah, I definitely want to
You'd be surprised how much people want to help the homeless, and it's heartbreaking to see them out there. And if you, like you said, if you have a conversation with any one of them, the ones that want to talk, there are some that won't talk to you because they have mental illness, and that's out there as well. So, you know, it takes almost nothing to buy some socks at $3.99 because they come in a bundle of six, and go out there and help at least five people if that's all you can do.
You know, the other day, a week ago, I caught the bus, and I saw a person on the bus who, yes, I do catch public transportation, guys. I caught the bus, and it's been a while since I took the bus, and looking at, you know, everybody's jumping the Uber and looking at things. In some places, it's only $3, $2, whatever. You just have to stand your ass out there and wait on it, right? And it hit me, and I said, you know what? I put $20 inside the slot, and the lady said, what are you doing? I said, do me a favor. When you see someone who is in need, I want you to make your own judgment. That's me paying their fare.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's going to be. But that's paying back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or giving back.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as that is
so
very
simple.
Important. Because you don't know. Because that's a blessing that you're giving to someone you don't know.
You don't know.
You follow what I'm saying? You're giving a blessing. Because if I got the $20 in my pocket and I can help them out with just $20, that could get a person to their job interview or whatever. There's been times mm-hmm. where I know that I didn't have, you know, the right amount of change. But I told the driver, I said, hey, look, anyone has an issue, you just count it. That's payment for four people. I'm sorry. Actually, $250 here. That's two. What was this? Five, 10, 50, 20, five, 10 people. So, and I just do that from time to time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the smallest, because you could take that $20 and spend it on something that you really don't need, and you wind up taking it back mm-hmm. to the damn store, right?
Right.
you return it. You did it all Christmas, you know. Do it for something that someone really needs and would really
mm-hmm.
appreciate that blessing that they don't even know where it came from. Keep that in mind, you guys.
Exactly.
With that being said, we're going to get on out of here. Again, I thank my co-hosts. I thank everyone who supports the TMGS. We'll be back next Saturday live, as always. And, you know, just be nice to each other. It's so simple to say hello when you make eye contact with anyone. It's so simple to say, have a nice day. Okay? It's simple to do the smallest thing because you'd be surprised how much it can really affect a person's day. Your kindness is very much needed. As Stevie Wonder said, love is in need of love today. Don't delay. Do it right away. Do it tomorrow and every day of the week. Love you guys and God bless. And I'm going to let us get out of here. Okay?
Right.
I said okay.
Me too. Good night, everybody.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
You going to play with me?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the track, and it's not coming up. I don't know why, but I guess we'll have to go in the show the way it is. I don't know why. And it's crazy. The board is just, like, not doing what I want it to do. This is crazy. Okay, here we go. We out of here. God bless. Peace, y'all.
Hey, what?